All right, if you'll take your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Proverbs chapter number 31. We will eventually be there. I have a long introduction and a short message, okay? But the introduction is full this morning, and I trust that you'll pay attention as we lay the groundwork for what we want to say this morning. Proverbs chapter number 31. And then if you go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll be there just after that. And I'll get you to turn them one at a time. Proverbs 31 and then 2 Timothy chapter number 1. If you just put something in there and mark it, we'll get there soon. Today, of course, is the annual national observance of what we know as Mother's Day. It was established back in 1914 by President Woodrow Wilson, and was set aside to honor our mothers, and they are worthy of honor. Amen. And I thank God for our mothers. No doubt, going to be a lot of flowers given, cards sent, and restaurants full today, which I'll let you maybe out a little bit early to get to the restaurants for the rest of the moms. But I read where there's an estimated $25 billion that would be spent on Mother's Day this weekend to honor Mom. That's a lot of money. I said that more people buy flowers for Mother's Day than any other time of the year except Christmas and Hanukkah. Now, I would have thought there would be more than even those, but it's what I read as I was doing a little bit of research there. Apparently, there are more... many people who think that nothing says thank you to Mom like cards, flowers, jewelry, and going out to eat. And with that being said, I want to say, mothers, we honor you today. Thank you for being with us on this special day of recognition. We hope you have a blessed day. Pray that you and your family comes through for you. Amen. And that they honor you this day, whether it be in person or otherwise. We just sang that special there in honor of Susan's mom, who went home to be with the Lord about April 15th, a little over three years ago. And I want to honor my mom today by praising the Lord for allowing me to have a mom that he gave me, and she let me live. Amen. I know there's a few times when she would like to maybe have taken me out, but she didn't. But she's been at home with the Lord now for just shy of 4 years. September 25th will be 4 years. I thank the Lord that I had a mom who loved me and loved my brothers and loved our dad. And, you know, there was never any hint of impropriety with our mom in her life. She was a faithful wife to our dad and a loving mom to us boys. She did pretty good. All three of us wound up being ministers. So my dad was not a minister. He was a deacon in a church. But my older brother pastors in Brunswick, Georgia. At least he's temporarily out of the pulpit because he had a heart transplant last September. But he's due to go back in July. They say he needed to wait until July. But we praise the Lord for the mom that raised us godly. And you know, we were in the house of God. I was born on a Wednesday. That next Sunday, I was in the Lord's house. And all I have known growing up is the blessing of being raised in the Lord's house. And before we get into the message, let me encourage each of you to honor your mother today and every day. It'll bring a blessing in your life if you do. Now, I realize there's some moms who were abusive, some moms maybe who not worthy of honor. And I've said this to our folks before. What you need to do is just live a life such that folks would not even know that about your mom. They would look at your life and say, you know, he must have had pretty good raising, must have had a good mom. And you say, well, she doesn't deserve that. Well, the Bible tells us to honor our fathers and mothers. You know, just live like you had a good mom. And if your mother's still alive, I hope that you've already sent her a letter or a card to tell her how special she is. And if you're able to do so, call her on the phone today, or better yet, pay her a visit if she's local. Miss not being able to do that with my mom. Those of you who are a part of our Wednesday night Bible studies know that we have gone through 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings and most of 2 Kings now. And as we go through there, we've seen many different kinds of mothers. And we've seen mothers whose influence was either positive or negative. And they played out in the lives of their families. A number of the kings that we've seen not only mentioned the father that they inherited the throne from, but also mentioned the mothers, which indicates that those moms had an especially great influence on their sons who became king. Again, it might be a positive influence or it might be a negative influence, but they had an influence on their children. We've seen some pretty vile, wicked mothers, and I know that they're out there. I thank God I didn't have one of those. You have one such as Jezebel or her daughter Athaliah, whose wickedness influenced their families in a negative manner. And sadly, there are too many ungodly women, mothers like Jezebel and Athaliah in our world today. Some ungodly women today don't even believe that they were made by God for helpmeet to any man. So, I'm just going to be my own woman. Most of them don't care for what God says about marriage or motherhood, and so they don't bother with it, or they've perverted it. And many just do as they please and try to cast off any hint of accountability for their actions. But listen, we're all going to stand before God one day. We need to understand, whether we're mothers or not, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for how you live your life and how that you represented yourself and the responsibilities that you were given, whether it be a father or a mother or a child or whatever God's given you, whatever place of responsibility that you have been given in the world, the Lord's going to hold you responsible for that. Nevertheless, thank God that we have seen many godly mothers in Scripture also. We've seen such women as Hannah. I mean, what a blessing she was, as we just when we were in 1 Samuel, the very first chapter, we met Hannah. And she was the mother of Samuel the prophet. Amen. What a blessing that she was in desiring a child, praying for a child, promising to give that child back to the Lord, and then following through on that promise. She did that. There's also folks like, ladies like the widow of Zarephath, who took care of her only son by being obedient to the man of God, Elijah, by first taking care of him. She was about to make their last meal. She said, "Well, I'm just going to cook this little cake. We're going to eat it and we're going to die." He said, "Well, why don't you make me a cake first?" And she went and did that. And that meal just kept multiplying. Amen. God took care of her because she took care of the man of God first. And then there was the unnamed prophet. Unnamed widow, who had been a wife of one of the sons of the prophets, who is unnamed, who pleaded for help from Elisha on behalf of her two sons, who were about to become slaves, because when dad passed away, they were saddled with debt. And now without a head of the family, had nobody to pay the debt. And so she was fixing to have to give her sons away in 2 Kings chapter number 4, and it just weighed on that mother's heart, heart of a mom. Don't forget the great Shunammite woman who, being childless, she talked her husband into making a furnished prophet's chamber for the prophet Elisha to use, and provided food for him as often as he passed by. And you know what? The Lord rewarded her with a son. She didn't have a son. She wanted a son, but she didn't have a son. And the Lord blessed with the son. And, I believe that we have some godly women and moms in this church. I know we have one. I praise the Lord for my wife and the one that the Lord has given me. She's been a great mom to our two children, a great grandmother to our five grandchildren. And what a blessing that she is. And our home has been in our home for a number of years, but There are many godly women and moms, and I thank God for every godly woman whose life impacts others in a positive way. And, you know, maybe we have some women present who desire to be godly or even more godly than you are now, and that's a good desire to have. Amen? You ought to want to be better for the Lord. And let me give you a simple admonition from Scripture that will help you fulfill that desire. And that's this, from James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Okay? That's where the secret is at. If you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you, and you'll become more godly as you draw near to Him. And I want to talk to both parents and grandparents for just a moment, and I want you to listen to me. The young men and boys in our families need to know what kind of woman to look for to be a helpmeet and companion in her life. To be mother of his children. Amen. And the young ladies and girls in our family need to know all of what God desires for them to be. And they need to be brought up to be virtuous, godly women who will be wives and mothers who are pleasing to the Lord. That's the responsibility of parents and grandparents. We have a responsibility to do our part in their lives. Well, what are the marks of godly women according to the Scriptures? Well, there are a number of places we can look this morning, but we'll look at just a few scriptural examples that speak to this. And here in Proverbs 31, I'm not going to use this whole chapter. I know there's a lot of things that it talks about the virtuous woman and the great qualities of a good wife, but I want to pay attention to verse number 30. It says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now this speaks of the virtuous woman. And when it says favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, what in the world does that even mean? Favor is talking about the grace and elegance of form and appearance of a woman. You know, a woman can be very graceful on the outside. And he's saying, you know, that could be deceitful. What's seen on the outside might not be what's on the inside. And the same thing when he talks about the beauty. He said he was talking about the outward beauty of a woman. It said it's vain. In other words, it's fleeting. It's a breath. It's a vapor. Don't put too much emphasis on the outside, because that's going to change. There are going to be some days when she's not going to look so hot. Okay, there's going to come a time when we all going to get older, right? We're all going to get older, and some of that beauty turns to the wrinkles. It turns to other things. My grandmother had this to say, and I remember this. She said, beauty is only skin deep, but ugly is to the bone. Not done yet. Pretty is as pretty does, while ugly holds its own. Okay? That's my grandmother on my dad's side of the family. And while she was saying, he's saying, hey, look, don't look on the outward for the beauty. Look at the inward. It means that we're cautioned. You know, she's not always going to look like that. It means that what you see on the outside ain't necessarily what you're going to see on the inside, what you're going to get on the inside. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That inner beauty of reverencing and honoring the Lord that works its way to the outside of her life, that is what is worthy to be admired and praised. A woman that fears the Lord seeks to reverence and honor the Lord with her life. Not just her church life. Yeah? It's easy to come in here and put on an appearance. We're talking about her life in totality. Her faith is, we could say, her faith is genuine. And that's where we want to move to over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We could say that a godly woman has an unfeigned faith or a genuine faith that is evident in her life. And we see two women whose lives that was found in. Look at 2 Timothy 1. Look at the verse number 3, and we're going to read down through verse number 5. It says, this is Paul speaking to the young preacher Timothy. He said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Paul was very careful to pray for Timothy. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then verse 5 is the key. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, I remember being in a forum here in Clay County for some local candidates that were running for, running for various local positions, but I know that some of the positions that they were running for were school board. And they held it over at the Thrasher Horn Center over there off of college. And it was being hosted by the Clay Family Policy Forum. And each candidate was given an opportunity to answer the same set of questions as the other candidates. And when the candidates were asked about their faith and the effect that it would have on their decisions, I remember one particular lady candidate, I'm not going to call her name, but she balked and she said something like this, and she said it in a huff, I'm not going to talk about my faith because that is deeply personal matter between me and God alone. Well, she's wrong. That's just wrong. She doesn't understand faith, what our faith is supposed to be about at all. I didn't vote for her, but she won the election anyway. And she's not been good for our school board, I can tell you that. And last time I checked, she's still in office. Listen closely. While we must have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and personal faith I want you to understand that personal faith is to be manifested in our walk and evident to those that are around us, okay? I'm going to say that again. While we must have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that personal faith is meant to be manifested in our walk and evident to those that are around us. Proverbs 31:30 said, a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Understand that in order for that to happen, her faith has to shine through. It has to be evident. And that means that there needs to be evidence. And we see two women that were praised right here in Scripture. They had evidence in their life. They showed forth their faith. Two good Bible examples. Timothy's mother and grandmother. The Apostle Paul wrote here about their unfeigned faith. That means that it was genuine. Amen? Those two godly women in Timothy's life were a great and godly influence on him, even when he didn't have a godly dad to be that influence. He didn't have a godly dad. His dad was a Greek, and we have no mention of his faith whatsoever. But mom did. Grandma did. And it got transferred to Timothy's life. In fact, 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul told Timothy that his faith was to be on display. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Man, where did he learn to be an example of the believers? He learned from mama and grandma. That's who he learned from. And in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And oh, how we need some godly generations today. You know, there's another good Bible example. We're not going to turn to it, but it's Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, who, Acts chapter 9, we read the story where she got sick and died. And Acts 9:36 says of her, says, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, that's not what got her to heaven. Her faith got her to heaven. But her alms deeds got her put in the Word of God as someone who demonstrated their faith, someone whose faith worked its way on the outside. Also says in Acts 9:39 that all the widows stood by him, talking about Peter, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Well, Peter said, we'll raise her up then. She was doing a good work, and he raised her from the dead. He said, what is the point, preacher? Well, the point is that her faith and fear of the Lord was manifested and able to be seen by others. It wasn't the dead faith that doesn't do anything that James spoke of. There is a dead faith. In fact, James 2, verse 17 says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. If you have faith, that's a good thing. That's what will carry you to heaven, is faith. But if you have faith, it ought to show itself. It ought to manifest itself out through your living, through your life. Again, one who has unfeigned faith will have a fear of the Lord and come shining through their life. And real quickly, I want to give you three areas where the fear of the Lord needs to be evident. Number one, her fear of the Lord will be evident in her attitude. Her attitude. A godly attitude will be exuded in her life and will bring forth praise from the Lord and admiration and praise of others. You know, it's not the outlook that really matters. It's one's uplook. One's uplook that'll come through in the life. It's not a matter of self-consciousness, but rather her God-consciousness that will be evident in her walk. That is, that she will not be so much concerned with what others think of her as she is with what the Lord knows of her. Number two, her fear of the Lord will be evident in her appearance. In her appearance. There's two words that will describe what the Lord looks for in the appearance of a woman and a man, both. And that is modesty and distinctiveness. Just those two things. Modesty, are you modest? And are you distinctive? Is there a difference? Somebody can look at you and tell you're a woman, if you're a woman. Somebody can look at you and tell that you're a man, if you're a man. That's the Bible distinction. And are you modest? Well, the fear of the Lord will be evident in the godly woman's appearance. She is modest and distinctive, both in the way she dresses and in the way she carries herself about. She sees her body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that is what it is. I mean, if you're saved this morning, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, you know, as a woman looks to clothe her body to go out in public, she chooses that which is modest and God-honoring rather than that which is sensual or sexy. You'll not find in Scripture anywhere that you are to draw attention to yourself. You're to draw attention to the Lord. Now, does that mean that she must dress like a plain Jane? No. But it does mean that she ought to dress to please the Lord, not to please a man. Paul put it this way to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:9, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Also, she shows herself to be distinctively feminine, not masculine. You know, God made you to be a woman, be a woman. I mean, and look like it. In our society today, it's getting hard to tell the difference a lot of times. We were at IKEA on Friday. I took a day off to rest my arm, And we went to IKEA to look for one particular thing my wife needed, and there was a couple that were there that were, you couldn't tell. You know, you could tell something was wrong, but you couldn't tell. There was no distinctively feminine about the what was going on there. So her fear of the Lord will be evident in her attitude. Her fear of the Lord will be evident in her appearance, modesty and distinction. And then number three, her fear of the Lord will be evident in her actions. In her actions. Peter wrote about her actions. He talked about how a woman should be have chaste conversation coupled with fear in 1 Peter 3:2. Chaste conversation. Conversation there means a mode of life, conduct, behavior, how you behave, how you carry your way around. Chaste means freedom from defilement or impurities. And you couple that with fear, the reverence, respect, and honor that you'd have toward the Lord. And he talked about how it was much more rather than focusing on the outside adorning, which we spend a lot of time adorning the outside. He said, you know, that's not the important. He said, but let it be that of the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 4. Paul also wrote about her actions in Titus 2. And verse number 5, he said that they were to teach the younger women to be discreet and chaste. Discreet and chaste are two words that he used. Discreet means of sound mind, self-controlled in one's passions and desires. And of course, chaste means freedom from defilements or impurities. 1 Timothy 2:9, he talked about that which becometh women professing godliness. That which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's how they're to be adorned. Something else about her actions is also found in Proverbs 31, verse number 11. It says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now that speaks to her faithfulness. I talked about my mom a while ago. She had no hint of impropriety at all in her life. Never saw one bit of that. My wife is the same way. I have no problem trusting my wife. I don't have to keep tabs on her. You know? She shows herself to be a woman of character, a woman that I can trust. And give you three things on this. She is faithful to her husband. I mean, her love for her companion never wavers. We've been together now almost 42 years. Be 42 years on Flag Day, and I thank God that she's been faithful, and a faithful wife. My mom was faithful to my dad for the 45 years that he was alive in their marriage. They were together for 45 years. She's faithful to her children. Her love for her children never wavers. I thank God for my wife homeschooled our kids all the way through. One of them graduated from college. She didn't teach college, but she did an adequate job teaching them all the way, from birth all the way till they graduated from high school. And one of them is a business person right now too. Our daughter runs several businesses, but she did an adequate job. She was faithful to her children. She didn't want to see her children tied up with the mess that's out in the public schools, and so she decided, I'm going to sacrifice. We will sacrifice, and we did. We sacrificed to have our children raised in our home and taught at home. She's faithful to her Lord. Her love for Christ never wavers. Her love for Christ's church never wavers. You know? This is what we're talking about, a godly woman. And on this Mother's Day, I call on the women to determine to be godly. Determine in your heart you're going to be godly. Most of what I've said about women applies to the men too. You're not off the hook. Amen. You're to be faithful. You're to be faithful to your spouse. You're to be faithful to your children. You're to be faithful to your Lord also. But this is Mother's Day. We're talking mothers, but the shoe fits. Wear it. Amen. Have an unfeigned faith that is evident or manifested in your life, whether you're a man or a woman. If you're godly, stay godly. If you're godly in some areas, strive to be more godly in every area of your life. One cannot be godly apart from first having trusted Christ as their Savior. That's where it begins. The question is this morning, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? And if not, I know of no better time than to trust Christ than on Mother's Day. Come to the Lord. It'll make you a better person no matter who you are, whether you're a man or a woman. It'll make you a better parent and a better grandparent and a better spouse if you'll get to know the Lord. It'll come out in your attitude. It'll come out in your appearance. And it'll come out in your actions. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just